Dr. Craig, I don't know if I've ever seen this much divisiveness in politics and around a presidential election. Donald Trump has been in office 5 or 6 months now at the recording of this podcast.
It really is incredibly divisive, isn't it? And particularly alarming is the vitriol and the violence on the left. We normally associate the political left with tolerance and openness, and yet it's shown itself to be just as bigoted and close-minded, and even resorting, as I say, to violence and shutting down free speech in order to oppose Trump's initiatives. It really is very alarming.
One of the promises that Donald Trump made was to his supporters that he wanted to protect religious liberty and free speech. And so this executive order that he just enacted doesn't quite get there, according to Christianity Today and some other commentators. It says it gives place to a lot of things that conservatives and evangelicals in particular wanted to see happen in the country, but didn't cover all of them. Is that the impression you get?
Yes, I think it's tremendously ironic, Kevin, that someone as narcissistic and materialistic and unspiritual as Donald Trump should emerge as a champion of religious liberty in this country. And yet, he does seem to be taking steps in that direction. He's at least promising to address these issues of religious liberty. And I do think that these are the most important issues that will be coming up before the Supreme Court in the coming years. Issues concerning the degree to which one can be exempted from federal laws or regulations because of matters of religious conscience. And this has become extremely important, for example, in federal mandates to provide health care that would include, quote unquote, women's reproductive services, aka abortion and contraception. And many Christian organizations, as well as other religious organizations, I mean, this would affect Muslims as well, cannot in good conscience agree to provide these sorts of services and therefore want to be exempted on the basis of religious liberty considerations from these regulations. The claim is that to require them to violate their religious conscience would be an example of the state imposing religious beliefs upon them. It would violate the free exercise clause of the Constitution. Another area where this comes up is the Supreme Court's now redefining marriage so that marriage is no longer a heterosexual union, but two men can marry each other, two women can marry each other. And this might force Christian organizations to recognize such unions, even though they would have religious objections to them. Or in the case of LGBT persons, not to discriminate against them in hiring, so that your church or your religious organization would have to hire a practicing homosexual, even though that would violate the standards of conduct that your religious organization adheres to. So these religious liberty issues are enormous. They're of great significance, and these will be coming before the court in coming years, which is why Trump's appointment of Neil Gorsuch to the court is so important to preserve a constitutionalist perspective that Antonin Scalia could be counted on to articulate. And the next appointments to the Supreme Court will be battles royale, because that would then begin to shift the balance in the court, whereas Gorsuch's appointment didn't really shift anything. So all of this is to say that this is an important issue. And that Trump wants to and claims to be a champion of religious liberty, for which Christians can be very grateful. Unfortunately, this order that he issued really disappoints in that respect. It doesn't say anything about providing exemptions for religious groups who are opposed, for example, to practicing homosexuals on their staff, or to provisions of health care that would require employers to provide abortifacients for female employees. The only thing this does is to extend political speech protections for pastors and religious organizations so that they can talk about political issues, for example, from the pulpit. Well, this is really kind of a non-issue, Kevin, as I understand it. Black churches have been doing this for years. They have political candidates come and speak from their pulpits, and pastors in black churches regularly address political issues and political candidates, and the IRS doesn't chase them down and try to hunt them down and remove their tax exemption. So this order by Trump, though it's a step in the right direction, I don't think really significantly impacts the concerns that evangelicals and Muslims as well would have.
Well, that's right. And it's a non-issue for that reason, that only 14% of evangelical pastors and 9% of mainline pastors approve of any kind of pulpit endorsements. Very small. And evangelicals themselves, only 29%. I mean, in fact, most say, no, don't.
Right.
Don't do it.
They're not in any kind of politics preaching from their pulpits.
So this doesn't do anything as far as that. Bill, before we continue, let me just say that in a way you have been put into this position to comment on this by our listeners. They want to hear what you have to say about it. Even though our emphasis is on your work, apologetics philosophy, and we talk about science and theology and things, the apologetics bloggers, the philosophy and apologetic social media is just lit up with social issues right now. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of unavoidable. And this is why we're commenting.
And I think, Kevin, the reason is that these issues are not merely social or political. If they were merely political, I would avoid talking about them. But I see these as ethical issues which must be addressed by the church. Mm-hmm. Issues of religious liberty are important constitutional and ethical questions, and we must not sit idly by while our constitutional rights to freedom of religion are eroded by a big brother government that would impose upon religious organizations and churches stances to which they object on religious grounds.
The president said, "I am signing today an executive order to defend the freedom of religion and speech in America, the freedoms that we wanted, the freedoms that you fought for so long." He said that at the Rose Garden ceremony. The federal government will never, ever penalize any person for their protected religious beliefs.
Now, that's a very sweeping statement, which is welcome. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, the executive order itself, as I understand it, didn't specifically mention those sorts of issues, but simply restricted itself to issues of free speech or political speech. Mm-hmm. This would be very relevant in Canada, where the speech police are so oppressive that people can be prosecuted as uttering hate speech merely for enunciating the view that, for example, homosexual activity is immoral, which is what the Bible teaches, that to engage in homosexual relationships, homosexual activity is immoral, just as adultery is immoral or premarital sexual activity is immoral. And that is unacceptable in Canada because the politically correct speech police deem that to be hate speech. And so these protections that are enunciated here are important in preventing us, perhaps, from sliding further in the direction that Canada has gone. but they don't address the really burning issues that I think the church faces and that will come before the courts in future years.
Yes, and the indication was that the executive order would make allowances for religious conscience in regards to the LGBT issues. And yet that did not make it into this executive order. And one wonders why. Why was that left out?
I'm not surprised, Kevin, by this, because I remember seeing speeches given by Donald Trump when he was on the stump as a candidate. And I got the very distinct impression that for him, lesbian, homosexual, bisexual, transgender activity is not really immoral, that he really doesn't see anything wrong with it. He sees this as just a personal lifestyle choice and does not share the biblical perspective that this is something proscribed by God and therefore morally wrong. I have a feeling, Kevin, and it is just a hunch, that he doesn't have any ethical problems with this kind of behavior. And so I'm not really all that surprised to see that these protections are missing from this executive order.
One of the reasons I think, Bill, that this needed to be in there regarding LGBT was not to discriminate against our LGBT friends, but because LGBT activists are pushing so hard, radically, into the very areas of ministries and churches in order to take advantage of the Supreme Court ruling and some other things like that.
Yeah.
And
we've seen that, for example, on college campuses where local chapters of InterVarsity Christian Fellowship are being told by the universities that they must allow, for example, practicing homosexuals to serve as officers in the InterVarsity chapters, even though this violates InterVarsity Christian Fellowship standard of conduct. And InterVarsity has taken a strong stand on its support for biblical ethics, and it has taken tremendous heat and pressure because of this. And this sort of concern can be very widely extended. I know a friend from Talbot, where I work, who had a wonderful cake-making business. She made the most gorgeous cakes. They were artistic creations, not just something to eat. And she would do this for weddings and so forth. She has now closed that business because she could not, in good conscience, make wedding cakes for a homosexual wedding. And yet she knew that if her business continued, inevitably, sooner or later, she would be called upon to do such a thing. She would decline, and she could be dragged into court because of it. And so this Christian entrepreneur has, in effect, been put out of business precisely because of these sorts of rulings or the imposition of values that are contrary to her own religious conscience.
So many are saying that this is a step in the right direction.
Yes. Yes.
But it falls short and more needs to be done. Another thing that's been pointed out, Bill, is that anything done by executive order can be undone by executive order, by a future president. And so threats to religious freedom in America need to be addressed through legislative action that protects religious liberty for all Americans. And there are some bills out there that are kind of heading in that direction. The Free Speech Fairness Act. We're going to have to come to that because free speech is under fire right now,
yes,
especially on college campuses. We'll do a future podcast on that, about how free speech is being shut down violently by those who oppose you, not by debate, not by dialogue, not by winning an argument or saying, here's why we don't agree. It's you cannot speak. And it's one of the scariest things on college campuses.
I agree, and it's shocking and deeply troubling. Yeah. As you say, though, Kevin, at least this is a step in the right direction. It is a reversal of the policies under the previous administration, and let's hope that Christians will continue to exert pressure on the executive so that we see additional steps to protect religious liberty.
When my hope is lost and my strength is gone, I run to you and you alone. When I can't get up and I can't go on, I run to you and you alone. 'Cause you're my light in the dark, all of my heart. My everything.